and welcome to the Apocalypse Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Owen, and with me is fellow Yagwai collector, Justin, my co-host. Welcome, Justin.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm about to go hunt some Yagwai.
And are you really?
Yes.
They're actually in this cave?
Yes.
There's others.
That's
still not is not will never be as annoying as fucking the in Fallout 4. It's just like, help, the civilization needs help, and I'm like, I don't care.
Right. I legitimately do not care.
Look, I mean, it's just easier just to not fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's easier just to take them. Breaking
work
club,
Julian. So, what's on the workbench for today, Justin?
I got luck to hunt a couple Yagwai. And
I mean for the podcast, what's on the workbench?
Events that have been going on in our great wasteland of a city.
You know, maybe it makes sense that that DC is the setting of Fallout 3 then, doesn't it?
Boy, if only they knew
how fitting that would be in 2008. It's a lot different then.
Yes, it was.
It's like when you... There you go, yeah.
Yep.
It's a dark game.
It is.
I had to turn
my brightness up on my TV.
well, sort of. Changing. Okay, I guess technically it did. You changed the picture mode and did that. But, So besides you playing this, what are we going to talk about? Come on now.
Well, we just picked up these new energy drinks that we've been trying out the last couple days.
Yeah, we have. What's it called? This is Quake.
Quake.
You know, like the game.
Oh.
No, I mean, that's not what it... No, I'm just...
Like, name company?
Why? Well, I just... Quake isn't a company.
Oh.
Quake is a game. Maybe, unless you're thinking of Valve or something, but...
I'm thinking of Valve.
You know, the people that made Half-Life and all that.
Yeah.
Good luck explaining to someone what that means. Oh, it's self-explanatory, I swear. No doubt about it.
I swear it's self-explanatory. 10 minutes later, try to explain it, and you get all gone.
Right, exactly. And, shoot, what else? Let's introduce some things that we're gonna have throughout the shows.
Okay, we're gonna have.
We're gonna have what?
Guest host. Hopefully.
Sure, hopefully.
We are going to review.
Gonna review games, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna do game reviews live, just for everyone to enjoy. Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Yes.
And movie reviews too. Sure, why not? Right. And of course I already have a stupid trailer I made for it, but it's Tales from the Borderlands. It's a sort of a Twilight Zone. take on Fallout, which is I think that's gonna be fun.
Yes, it will.
We'll figure all that stuff out in due time. But you know, I think it'll be interesting. I'll we'll probably we'll find the right music and everything. And stop shooting the. That was unnecessary. And I've shot a lot of, dudes' heads off in Fallout. So that's saying something. You gotta bring something into the conversation, Justin. You're on a podcast. You're on a podcast, not playing alone.
That wasn't overkill. A fat man would have been overkill.
Yes, yes. Oh well. That's the fat man, I guess. Yeah.
It's the funny thing is
I kind of like the way this fat man looks.
Esther.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very unique Batman.
Also, there's apparently C4 in this game, which is interesting.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, among a thousand other things, but you know. You do what you do. Let's see, and why don't we try out one of those little reviews, huh?
Okay.
Why don't you take the lead on this one, Justin?
Okay. New Vegas is a game that I've been playing for about, give or take, 6-7 years.
What draws me to you just said New Vegas.
Yeah, Fallout New Vegas.
You gotta say the full thing. You're doing a game. You're doing a review. Keep going. It's a game you've been playing for a while, you said.
Yeah. What drew it to me the most, like, is the hardcore mode that you can play on, where everything has weights.
Everything has weights. Okay. And you know, every Fallout has a mode like that, so it helps.
But it all started in New Vegas.
That's a good point. Maybe 3 didn't have a mode like that.
3 did not have a mode like that.
Well, I guess. Interesting. So,
I probably can't.
Keep going. I mean, you gotta, all right. You know, sell the game. You ever come, can't run. Sell the game to me. What?
I'm grossly overweight by a couple thousand.
You're also are in the middle of describing something, yeah. Justin.
What drew it to me the most was the realistic part of it, where you could actually try to actually survive in it by eating and drinking. And you were not able to fast travel, so you would have to strategically get to the nearest doctor if you were damaged.
Okay.
And didn't have a stem pack.
What year does your Pip-Boy say it is? I just out of curiosity.
2250.
No, I said look, go to like the where it would show it in the map or something, right?
Wait, put that on the map.
Where? Oh no, it's up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
1213. Yeah. What's that?
Zoran Canyon.
Oh no, sorry. That's the time, right?
2057. Yeah.
That was throwing me off for a second, right? That's like, which is like 8 o'clock or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to justify that. So, anything else you want to say to make it sound interesting? while doing a review of the game?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm trying to turn something off.
I want you, because the idea is that you review them.
Yes.
And then we'll get, and then we give them a score out of 10.
Okay.
But the, which is why I'm letting you take.
Should I go with the main story of it?
Well, imagine that you were writing a, think of it as a review. It's got to be like to the point, right?
Yeah.
So you want to, yeah, describe it in basic terms, and then say Fallout New Vegas is blah 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 blah. You know, go, you know, this happened. You know, it's like, you know, this, you know, that, Benny, right? You know, all the important stuff.
Right.
That needs to be, you know, quick Cliff Notes version of it. And then say I give Fallout New Vegas a blank out of 10, or whatever system you want to use for rating.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay.
So
all starts off.
Cliff Notes version.
You start off. You're supposed to deliver this package, which is.
What's the package?
The Platinum Ship.
Platinum Ship. Right? But you end up in...
You end up being...
Almost supposedly killed.
Yeah, you get ambushed and...
By some guy. By a
and
guy.
And shot in the, brutally in the head.
By a guy, but you don't know his name yet.
Yeah.
But he's got a checkered jacket.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he just looks like a guy from the...
I had a couple great cons earlier, too.
Yeah, and you're just like, you survive, the doc, the doctor saves you, and the doc, right, doc,
Doc Mitchell.
Doc Mitchell is where, and that's where you pick it off, right? You know, that's the game's way of starting you off. Let's say, this is where you set up your stats, this is where you name yourself, this is where you do a test, and also speaking of tests, there's something I will tell you in a bit after your review. Speaking of Fallout 4, but we'll get to that another time. So after you leave, and then what's the main goal in New Vegas?
The main goal is you have to keep these two factions.
These two factions being
the NCR and. And or Caesar's Legion, whoever you decide to.
And the NCR standing for National California Republic, right?
Yeah.
And the other one being led by a guy named
Caesar.
Caesar.
Ironically.
Caesar, ironically. Well. I mean, maybe it's not too ironic, because...
It's ironic to a point.
It is ironic in the sense that it's in the game, but I think it's intentional that... But then he ends up naming the group after, you know, something... That, you know, after
the
Caesar...
Legion.
Right.
After the Roman Legion.
Legion, yeah. And in the end... So, and there's multiple factions you come across, right? And in the end... oh, yeah, right. And of course, then you end up in guess what? New Vegas, right?
Yeah.
New Vegas is where you eventually discover who it is that shot you, Chandler Bing.
Chandler Bing, Ben.
What? What? It's him. It's what? Yeah. It's Matthew Perry. Matthew Perry shoots you. I mean Benny.
Shoots you in the face.
I mean it's Benny, but it's although most people probably wish he had as much personality as Chandler Bing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Benny is a robot, not in the literal sense, but in the personality sense.
Yeah.
But that's more of a Fallout New Vegas kind of thing.
Oh, she looks like my ex.
Alrighty, lad. So, and you end up you beat Benny, and you get this gem. This gem. What the hell am I saying?
This platinum chip that you were supposed to deliver to the big top player in Fallout New Vegas, which would be Mr. House.
Sure. Things happen throughout the game. Kill Benny, do all this, you kill a bunch of other people. Depending on who you decide to side with, you know, like any Fallout game, of course. And of course, there's, you know, multiple endings, right?
Yeah.
Multiple endings. You have a favorite ending?
My favorite ending is the one where you side with Yes Man and throw the NCO general off the Hoover Dam.
Ah, yes, of course. That's right, yeah.
Which is also the funniest, because he just flailing around until he hits the pavement below.
And if you don't know that the Hoover Dam is in the same state that Vegas is in, maybe don't play New Vegas. or fall in. I mean, unless you're just really stupid, but I don't know. You know what I mean? That's like playing Fallout 3 and being like, I didn't know the fucking Washington Monument was here. I mean, that which there's probably some idiot that didn't actually know that. They're like, I didn't know this was
what these from Washington Monument.
Sure. So the game kind of ends. So the game has the multiple endings. I don't know if there's a preferred ending.
The preferred one is where you kill every single Legion soldier you possibly come across.
Okay.
And murder Caesar brutally.
Okay. And with that, I think time for a rating. Justin, what do you rate Fallout New Vegas?
I rate Fallout New Vegas. I would rate it a 9 out of 10.
A 9 out of 10.
Because I haven't played the newer ones yet.
Newer ones as in
76.
As in Fallout. What?
Fallout 4.
And real quick, you've played the DLC.
Uh-huh.
And if you include DLC, does that factor into, is it by any chance maybe drop the rating at all? Would they keep it at 9?
That would raise it up to a 10.
You think DLC makes a game perfect?
It would have been better if it was.
I mean, 9's a strong number, man. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick at 9.
We're gonna stick at 9. So, DLC, good or bad? Is it worth it?
It's really good.
Okay, so in the end, maybe game of the year, Fallout. Or whatever it's called, Ultimate Edition, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess they all mean the same thing.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
All right. Fallout 9 and 10. You want me to do a quick one? Since we're here.
Quick playthrough.
Huh?
Quick playthrough for you, or?
Oh no! I meant a quick review.
Okay.
Just while we're on the topic.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna actually do a quick review myself of Fallout 4, because this is one of those, because in this case, that's a Fallout game that I know better, so, Justin can in turn ask me, to add, and ask me whatever. So if you don't mind, I will gladly transition to that.
Until Fallout 4?
The Fallout 4 for it. And, call it a little quick double review, you know? If certain games, there'll be more to talk about, but I think in this case, it'll be interesting. You know New Vegas, I know 4, so I think it helps.
And if I remember correctly
about
Fallout 4, the tower players are Brotherhood of Steel, obviously. the Institute, the Railroad, and that's the right. Minutemen?
That's right.
Which one am I missing?
You are missing... Are you missing any?
The Alley Cats.
You're not missing any. No. Well, they're not an institute, but they do exist.
Yeah.
No,
they're some of the coolest players.
They're like the, yeah. No, I mean, cause so yeah, you got them all. That's four main ones. I mean, you're not forgetting anything. And then the typical groups of enemies in this game, being, you know, raiders, gunners, feral ghouls, you name it.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're gonna. So this is where you sort of. So I need you to. So you kind of asked me now.
Okay. So tell me how it starts off. Tell me what the main.
Okay.
What the main storyline is.
So in Fallout 4, the main storyline is that you start off in 2077.
Okay.
In the past, by Fallout standards, that is, everyone's living a normal life. This is also where you're introduced to your character looking in the mirror. You can say, "I want to be male or female." So it's a husband and wife. You can name them, and you can also choose, body shape, hairstyle, all the stuff early on. Some of these things in which that things like hairstyle and whatnot that can be changed later anyways. Then a guy comes to you from Vault Tech, which is the group that's trying to get you into the vault, right?
Yeah.
And he says like, "Hey, how you doing? It's just easy to bother you. You can do whatever." In the end, you kind of just have to sign it anyways. By signing it, that leads into you setting up your skills, for your special skills to whatever, you know, and which then leads to something crazy, to something, you know, oh no, you find out bombs have gone off.
Yeah.
In a few states. Now everybody's freaking out. Everybody gets sent to a elevator that leads into the vault below them, which is Vault 111, I do believe.
I think so.
If I have that number right. And as they're going down, you see the explosion of a nuke go off. This leads to you eventually getting cryogenically frozen with along with your partner, whether that be husband or wife. Nothing changes other than that. That your son, your baby, gets stolen by this guy.
Ooh, by a guy.
Your son gets stolen, that's right, yeah. By a guy who you learn who he is eventually, but you don't know. It's very much a Benny moment in that sense. Difference is that, well, Benny doesn't kill you, he does in fact kill your partner. This guy who goes by the name of Kellogg.
Yeah.
And I can tell you for a fact that he's not great in any way, shape, or form, but. that being said, which then leads to you escaping the vault, getting outside, seeing that 200 years have passed, because it's now 22, whatever. It's because Fallout 4 is about how many? It's about 10, 15 years after 20, maybe after New Vegas, something like that. So it's at like 2257 or something, something like that. Or 2277. I should say, yeah. The first character you come across is your old, I'm only in the middle of something here. Dick.
Sorry.
I know, I saw. You're throwing on my train of thought, man. You're supposed to be engaging with me here.
I am engaging with you.
Keep going. I mean, so ask me shit.
Okay.
And you come across Codsworth, who's a robot, the first companion you can have in the game, and even someone encouraged that you should probably go with Codsworth because he is lonely and has done nothing for 200 years.
Yeah, tell him why.
Because, what?
Tell him what makes Codsworth special.
What the hell does make him special?
He's a robot butler. That's right.
Butler. Yeah, thank you. Right, he's your butler. And obviously, he survives the nuke because, well, he's not human, so. He's rusty, but he's not. But he's also very. But he's also still there. He's still a robot. He can still attack. And he's the one that basically tells you, says, go to Concord. Where you meet. You go there. You meet this group called the Minutemen. Inside of like this building. It's like a museum of some kind. Museum of Freedom.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're fighting. Next thing they say, get into this power armor. You're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, and by the way, you're fighting a Deathclaw. Out of nowhere. You meet this guy named Preston Garvey. You guys end up going to a place called Sanctuary. This is where the game teaches you then about the workshop system, which lets you edit certain areas, and where you can have people come in, settlers and stuff, and do shit. It doesn't mean it's not necessarily important to anything. It doesn't, you know, really drive the story or anything, but. But exploring lets you find other places that have workshops, and those workshops can then be chained together, and you can like send like food and stuff all over. So,
yeah.
Really, at the end of the day, it's more so just for getting that one trophy, you know, the one I don't have.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So,
complete happiness trophy.
100% happiness.
Yeah.
Then at that point you're basically like, they're just like, hey, you know, you can stick with them or you can kind of just go off. And your goal is, you're looking for your son. You come across the guy that stole his son. You kill him. He tells you about a place called the Institute. As you go around the wasteland, they keep talking about this place called the Institute, wondering what the hell it is. People sympathize with you because you keep telling them that your son is missing. So in case you ever, it's the first time where you get to guilt trip people in a Fallout game.
Guilt trip people.
And they sure fall for it.
People are dead and nobody really cares.
Well, I mean, because you're like, my son was stolen. And it's just like, well, they're like, shit, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
And they can only really do so much. And you come across different people who all are willing to help you, you know, especially all those companions who are like totally with you with like helping it. You eventually end up in a place called Diamond City as well, which is like the main hub of Fallout 4. Diamond City is basically where all the action happens. Diamond City is where, for one, you can meet two companions. A girl named Piper, who's the one that lets you into the city. She's feisty.
Ooh, Piper.
And she's, she's not there to play with your Piper, but you know, she's there to, she's the one that gets you in. So,
yeah.
And she does your story, and she like writes the local newspaper, and everybody hates it. She writes the equivalent of the National Enquirer, basically, to these people. Even though it really isn't, but everyone basically hates her.
Public enemy number one in the city in the beginning.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's the whole thing, right, is the, they do that. And then you're also introduced to Nick Valentine, if you, at some point as well, if you, because you're told this. Cause someone tells you, you know. Cause you find out. Cause you tell Piper about your son being missing and everything. She says she knows Nick Valentine can help you. She said, so you go and you discover that Nick Valentine is being held in like this vault somewhere, where you discover that Nick Valentine is in fact not human, but in fact
a synth.
But not any, which then leads you to be like, oh, well, I should hate, which is the game's way of basically saying, I should hate synths because everyone else does. But the thing is that most people don't hate Nick Valentine. In fact, most of them think of him as a great character, and even in Diamond City, they know that he's good at his job. They're like, we know he's a synth,
but we don't care.
But we don't care because he saved people's lives, and he helps you, and he does. He's the one that helps you find Kellogg and everything.
And at some point
you can meet the Railroad, who are just, you know, they're a secret organization. And you can even meet the Brotherhood as well. The Brotherhood you meet at like a police station after you help them out. And you can help them out if you want.
Of course they would be at a police station.
Right. And the Railroad are like underneath a church. Which you find by following, as you might recall, Justin.
The Underground Railroad?
No. You find by no. So what happens is you get to this area, right? And it's called the Freedom Trail.
Oh yeah.
And the Freedom Trail has all this thing. You like read these little signs, and they don't make any sense until you realize that it's spelling the word railroad. So it's more like the Above Ground Railroad in that sense.
Yes.
But it's there as a puzzle to lead you to the church, so that you end up finding Railroad and help them. And eventually the game gets to a point where it's like, okay, everyone's fighting, and it gets to the point where the game is, where they really, everyone's trying to get you to go against the Institute. You eventually build this teleporter, because they discover, after you meet, you're told, go to the Glowing Sea, which is this place just full radiation, where this guy who used to work at the Institute is, a guy named Virgil. Virgil's just a super mutant, but he's a smart one. Virgil's basically a Beast from X-Men, if Beast was a super mutant. More or less. Because he's smart, he's very calm, sophisticated guy, but could easily kill anyone if he wanted to.
Yeah, literally, you
could
just pick them up by their head and just, like, shoot them, like,
right. Which he could, and he does. Which he does, he decides to screw with them. Other than that, though, I mean, there's a lot of things, like, yeah, you do that, he gives you, because he's the one that gives you the plans to make this teleporter. You build the teleporter, get inside the Institute. You discover that the Institute is, in fact, nothing that can actually, is that there's no way for you to actually get into the Institute except normally, without basically teleporting in there. Should you side with the Institute, you'll always be able to teleport in there anyways, through fast travel. Other than that, you know, it's very much, it's interesting, and it basically leads to being like, whose side are you gonna fight for? And in this battle at Bunker Hill. Yeah. So it's like, who are you gonna side with? Do you side with the Railroad? Do you side with the Brotherhood? Do you side with the Minutemen? Do you side with the Institute? And all these factions are, in some way, you know, at least, so three of these factions are fighting at Bunker Hill. Institute's there, Brotherhood's there, Railroad's there.
Yeah.
And they all have their benefits. And they do the Fallout 4 does the Fallout 3 thing of having you build the Liberty Prime, and even an explosion, and setting off a nuke at the end. Railroad just kind of gets to blow up the blows goes and infiltrates and like blows up the Institute. And if you're the Institute, well, now you got synths on your side. Yeah. And now synths are all over the place. Because you discover that your son is in fact an old man who runs the place and is not in fact a kid anymore.
Right.
And once you they try to fake you out, but no, it's just factual that's there. And that's Fallout 4.
Yeah. Companions can you get that are interesting? Or tell me about the DLC for that one.
I've never played the DLC, so I couldn't tell you. Companions, I'll do a quick ride. There's Nick Valentine, there's Piper, there's Kate, who's a Scottish girl you meet somewhere. She's good. There's a super mutant you can get as a partner, as a companion. There's Preston, of course. There's a guy named McGarvey who's like an underground mercenary dude, yeah. Type guy, stuff like that. I myself a Nick Valentine kind of guy. Oh, and of course Dog Meat.
Yes, we can never forget about Dog Meat. He's a good boy.
So that's that. I'm sure you probably want my rating, right?
Yeah.
I've been told the DLC is kind of hit or miss. But just base game Fallout 4 with all it has, I'd say solid 7 out of 10. If I had to guess, I'm sure the DLC probably would. Some of the DLC would probably give it. With DLC, if you play Game of the Year Edition, probably 8. 8, maybe 9, depending on how much you like it.
Yeah.
But I think a solid 7 out of 10 for me. So that's that. There we are.
Yeah.
Very good. So we got a little bit. We have some little bit of time left to talk about anything else. Anything else you wanna? Any more ragstag you wanna slice open for the folks up here?
Yeah. So the character's Piper, who's a companion in Fallout 4, and we have a companion in Fallout New Vegas named Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both trying to do good for their faction that they belong to or city. But sometimes they don't always do enough.
Right. Well, they're AI, so, you know. But, much like any game, most companions tend to have an ability that makes them stand out. For example, Nick Valentine can hack terminals for you.
Yeah.
If you just want to save the trouble. But if you need the experience, then it doesn't really matter. But sometimes you're like, what's one terminal?
Right. Especially when you run out of bobby pins.
Anything else?
I keep finding what I call it a Wendigo. Death claws and new.
Yes.
Are easier, harder to kill, and Fallout 4.
You're asking my opinion on that?
Yeah.
There's different types of death claws, so there's that too. There probably are in this game as well, but I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely depends on the death claw. But for the most part, I mean, Deathclaws are too stupid to go inside buildings. Anyways, they just you the moment you run inside a building, it just gives up.
It's like safety. I win.
Yeah, it's just yeah. And even then, if you you just kind of get to a point where you're just like, you're leveled up enough, and you have so many perks that you're basically invincible. And certain things are just, and you know, it's all about using VATS well. And you realize that sometimes you could just shoot it without VATS and be just as lucky. But it's pretty easy. I would say, yeah, they can be tricky if you're not ready to fight one. I think. Other than that, though, I'd say they're pretty, probably about the same. They might be a little bit
harder, do they? Just
potentially. It's hard
because they always make them hard to kill.
I mean, they're not. Yeah, I mean, they take time to kill, anyways. I'd say they're probably harder in the sense that it's an older game, so it plays a little differently, anyways.
Right.
Other than that, though, yeah, I mean, and before we finish up episode one here, Justin, some final thoughts for the viewers out there.
I highly recommend playing either of these games if you get the chance.
Sure, yeah, definitely. Sunset and... since most people probably have newer systems anyways, if you got a PS4 or Xbox One, easy to get a copy of Fallout 4. And I think both services offer services that let you download older games anyways. Sony has PS Now, PS4 if you want to try that, and you can play New Vegas that way. Xbox probably has something like that.
Microsoft Store.
Yeah. Also, but it's also backwards compatible. So.
Yeah.
So there's that too. Justin's gonna. Oh. And Justin. Well, not quite.
That's a good way to go, I guess.
And as a
firing a fat man and falling off a cliff at the same time.
And with that, folks, episode one is here. And get used to it.
Yep. The official episode one.
Hopefully, yeah. The official episode one. Any final words for the pilot episode, Justin?
If you get Fallout New Vegas, you have to get the DLCs. Except Gun Runners, optional.
And if you get Fallout 4, you can maybe get a couple of the DLCs. I would say Nuka World and maybe Far Harbor. But Nuka World's the go-to one. And with that, alrighty, folks. I'll do it for episode one of the Apocalypse Nerd Podcast. I'm Owen.
And I'm Justin.
And we'll see you all next time. Catch us when our new show premieres on Fox Sundays at 9:00. See ya.
See ya.
Now them Raiders always getting themselves up in trouble, day by day. What are they up to this time?
Let's go rob that caravan for some Nuka-Cola.
They ain't got Nuka-Cola in there. That's just Mentes.
Even better, Nuka-Cola and Mentes.
You think that's a fun type of ham? That ain't ham.
Sounds like ham.
Y'all eating that mongrel meat again, ain't you?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You ain't right, brother. You ain't right.
The Mayan girl ate a couple guys before, too. Does that make me a cannibal?
Yes.
Well, goddamn.
Hey, man.
Okay, let's go ride that caravan.
That's not a minigun. That ain't a minigun. That's an elephant.
The fuck's an elephant?
No, wait. I'm mistaken. That's just a giant robot.
Oh, fuck. It's the Brotherhood of Steel. Fuck us.
The Brotherhood of Steel can kiss my steel ass. I tell you what. You know what, brother? That's stupid. You're gonna die from that shit.
But it makes my AP go up.
You know what, brother? I got a better idea. Why don't we just stay here and watch all of the Brotherhood of Steel just kill a bunch of people? Hey, look, like a dead guy.
Sounds like a great idea. Let's go loot him.
And with that, them Duke boys, I mean...
I thought you could call it.
I'm doing a recording. Now, them boys, they always getting themselves into trouble. And just another day in that wasteland. This is narrator saying, there's a gun in my head. Thank y'all for watching. Wake me up indeed. Hi. Looking for somewhere to stay here in the wasteland? Tired of staying in camps that you don't like? Tired of trying to convince farmers that you're better than them? Come find us at Diamond City. We have everything you need. Need meat? We got a butcher. Like baseball? Mo's the guy just for you. He's got all the bats you need, especially ones with barbed wire. Need anything else? Maybe a nice school for your children. Guess what? Diamond City has that too. And much, much more. Because at Diamond City, we are here to protect you. We even have our own personal detective, Nick Valentine. That's right. Because he may be a synth, but he's got the heart of a human deep down. He wants to keep you and your family safe. So does everyone else. At Diamond City, we stay close-minded and keep predators away. Who needs to travel when you can stay safe? Who needs to get hurt when you can stay safe? Maybe tired of the mayor being cruel to you? He's probably evil anyways. Feel free to kill him, but only if everyone else does. Because in Diamond City, we don't trust outsiders. Unless, of course, you happen to be very good or happen to be very charismatic and know how to get your way through people. Oh, and don't trust Piper. She's evil, pure evil. I don't read the newspapers. You shouldn't either. Come to Diamond City. You'll probably like it. And now, onto the show. As the bombs fall, so too many stories are formed. As we explore a new series from the Tales of the Wasteland, we take you to New Vegas. We find two men. Looter and Shooter, both looking for their treasured prize. But is it really worth it in the end? Or are they both just idiots? Let's explore, shall we? Scene here, Looter and Shooter in the middle of the desert looking for their gold. At least that's what they think it is. And if you'll just...
Hey, Looter. lots of jet.
Nah, man, I'm alright. But I'll tell you something.
Why?
Look, there's a death claw. Don't go near it.
Nah, I'm not gonna go near it.
I don't go no near it.
I'm not gonna go near it.
You're gonna go near it, and then we'll both dead.
It's all the way over there. It's not gonna mess with us. Help me get the safe open.
Give me that stuff.
Okay, here's the crowbar.
Oh. You idiot!
What?
This isn't freaking gold.
What is it?
It's just a bunch of rocks.
Who locks rocks in a safe?
People trying to scroll with us, that's what. I knew this would happen.
It makes sense. It's heavy as hell.
Gotta go! What'd you say? What'd you say?
I missed the death claw. I just have to keep fast.
They gave us this. Look, man, they gave us this map, a treasure, right? They said right here. They said right in the middle of it. They said you will leave New Vegas, and you will find this in the desert. And look, they even said over here. They'd be like, they even put a sign for us. They said, look for the bodies.
Expand.
I assume this is what they meant. It's where we are, right?
Yeah. But there's bodies all over the wasteland.
Hey, wait a minute.
And many were caused by us.
Wait a minute.
Is that death claw getting closer?
Hey, didn't you tell me this was... didn't you buy this map?
Yeah.
I'm looking right there. I'm looking at there.
Run.
From what?
It's had to be faster than you.
Run. The boys kept running from that death claw, and somehow they made it away. Turns out the death claw wasn't so bright after all.
It had a safe drop on it.
Boink. Doink. Oink. Sounds, you might, sounds a bit cartoony if you ask me. We see them back now, civilization. They've gone back to the strip of New Vegas in hopes of getting answers once and for all.
Where the hell is the spam?
Yeah, they told us there was spam right here. Spam, you know? You know, this sounded like my government. Spam. That's what they got, right?
That food vendor sell spam.
Hey, man, it was a spam. He told us they got spam. It's not spam.
We're in the Ultra Hawks, right? And you guys don't have spam?
Spam, it's not spam. It's called cram. Cram. See right there? C-R-A-M.
Oh, my
just
bad.
Cram. See this? Hey, use this toothbrush.
What the hell is a toothbrush?
Pretend it's like a step pad or something.
Oh, it's a step pad.
No, it's a toothbrush, see?
Okay. My teeth are gone.
You idiot. You fall for that every time. Kind of like these idiots right now.
Sorry. Fifth point acting up.
I got Radio Disney on here.
I didn't think Nuka World broadcasted this far out.
You're on Nuka World.
Nah, I'm just getting lots of it.
Yeah, man. It's just the stuff. It's all about you, Jet. You getting those from the... You bought those freaking hillbillies, didn't you? You went to them, and they're just like... She's like, can I get some jet? And they're just like, yeah. And she's like, sure you can. And then they gave it to you because you probably bribed them because the freaking numbnuts.
I bribed them with the keys.
You wore his shirt to get charisma. That's a deep cut joke. You know, because it's not like I already didn't break. Hey. It's not like I didn't just break. Forget about breaking the fourth wall. I'm pretty sure I just broke the seventh wall. They told us right here, right? This is the guy. No, wait, that's the weapons guy. No. It wasn't some, like, dude with, like, a striped shirt or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Benny.
You know,
he wanted us to go kill himself.
Isn't Benny the guy that works at that diner?
Yeah.
You know, they make great sausages there. Right, you know? That's what I'm saying.
I'd pay a couple caps for a sausage right now. Too bad the bomb's falling. There is none.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But there's plenty of Nuka-Cola around. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got a whole thing.
I drank three cases already.
And...
Stupid Pip-Boy.
Your Pip-Boy keep playing modern rap music for some reason.
I don't know why. It all sucks.
Maybe it's because...
Maybe it's busted.
Maybe this guy knows something about it. You know, he looks pretty trustworthy. He's got a chef's coat on.
Do you mean the guy who cooks people?
That's what he does for a living?
Yeah. It works at the Ultra Lux.
Hey, didn't they tell us to, like, kill that, like, White Glove Society motherfucker or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they're all cannibals.
Cannibals are cannibals. You find some, you kill some.
You know, Luda. Yeah,
you kill some more.
You know, Luda, you know, I was thinking. This story needs a cliffhanger, and I don't think it even had a climax.
Nah.
We should probably go find the climax, because that's the only climax we're getting, that's for sure.
Okay, where are those hookers?
There's hookers here?
Yeah, New Vegas.
There's hookers in New Vegas?
Yeah, tons of them.
Is that like on the back of the box? Because I don't know that.
No, we already broke in the casinos.
We already broke. You know, you're supposed. You know, it's a good thing you're not giving me shit for breaking all the walls, because pretty sure I just destroyed reality as we know it in podcast form. Oh, there's another one. Keep knocking over all the walls. He doesn't seem to care.
It's a good thing we know at the end of this. No one will get the Hoover Dam.
What? Who's in Hoover, that, like, FBI dude?
Yeah. He was a cross-dresser.
You think...
It's creepy as fuck.
You think we even need... I don't... I have a feeling I'm just, you know... Call me crazy, but... I don't think there's even gonna need to be a cliffhanger. I think we might just be able to go and just make our own ending. What do you think?
Yeah.
I got a better idea. Why don't we just, like, go and, like, hit this button right here?
Yeah.
You know, they told me it ends the story and kills everybody. You know, we could just kill Benny this way.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know, I saw one guy try to hang him like he was Jesus or something. That was weird.
Yeah. Stupid Kaiser.
But, you know, we need a nice Kaiser salad.
Yeah.
These are our jokes. Hey, you know, this French guy keeps yelling at him. You know,
bonjour, my bougie.
You know, just wait till the British guy yells at the French guy. Then it's really funny. Then it's like a. Then it's really, really funny. Oh, you know they keep. You know they got like that dramatic music because like that's what you put in these shows.
Yeah.
because who needs to keep. You know, now that I think about it, I think these would just be better if we just kind of broke all reality.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's keep going. Hey, why don't you do the honors, my man? Listen, I mean, we blow this entire place up, and then we just take everything and get out of here. What do you think? And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Explosion sound effects. Explosion sound effects. The explosion went off. Everyone's dead. Oh, wait. Except for one. Ah, crap. I killed him. You're dead. Shut up. You can't be dead and break the fourth wall. Don't work that way. Now everybody's dead. Except for me. Well, it was good knowing. It was good knowing you, pal. Life leads to tragedy. Tragedy leads to life. In the end, for looter and shooter, sometimes it's better to have lived than to have never been born at all. They may not have been the sharpest tool in the shed, but they were, for lack of a better term, human. Even humans deserve to be treated with some dignity. Too bad these men don't even know the definition of that word, but that's okay. In the end, they tried to cheat death, and death bit him back. That's for sure. The Grim Reaper's the only one laughing in this story, that's for sure. Stay tuned for yet another episode of Tales from the Wasteland. Thank you, one and all, for listening and coming by. Radio off.
Just have your name, please, sir.
Right, sir, hold on a second. Ready?
Yes.
My name is Derek.
What are you doing?
That's my name.
What is?
This. Derek. What? Derek.
Is your name?
Yes. What kind of name is that? Well, it's my name.
Bit unusual, isn't it, Mr.
If I had a pound for every time someone had said that to me.
How do you spell Mr.?
It's as it sounds.
Yeah, but if you wouldn't mind spelling it for
me. Well, I mean, can't you?
I would be very grateful if you would spell it for me.
All right, then. NIPPL-E.
Nipple.
Beg your pardon?
Nipple.
Nipple? Where? What are you talking about?
NIPPLE.
Hyphen E.
Hyphen E. In my book spells nipple. It does not spell.
Have you gone mad? What are you talking about? I thought the modern policeman was supposed to be a highly trained law enforcement unit. You can't even spell.
All right, Mr. Nipple, if I can have your address, please.
Address, please. You talking to me?
Yes.
You want to know my address?
Yes, please.
Or do you want to know Mr. Nipple's address?
Your address, please.
My address, right. My address is number 22. King's Lane.
Watch it.
What?
Just watch it.
Watch what, for heaven's sake?
Do realise that assaulting a police officer is a very serious offence.
Yes, I imagine it probably is. Very serious. But giving your address to a policeman, on the other hand, probably isn't so serious. Or is it? Perhaps the law's changed since I last looked. Perhaps the Home Secretary has had to take stern measures against the rising tide of people giving their address to policemen whenever they're asked.
All right, all right. Let's just check this with you, shall we, Mr...
Yes?
Your address is 22...
No. What's the matter with you? It's 22 King's Lynn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was 22 King's Lynn.
Well, it isn't.
Sorry, in handwriting.
Well, get a typewriter.
Well, if only we could afford a typewriter, sir. Do you know, it's funny, from some angles, it looks like 22 King's Lynn.
Everybody, I bring you words of wisdom today while the sound of an AC blasts in my background. Folks, I'd like to tell a story of a man who never actually existed, but was known for one thing: saving lives. Everything to him was game. He never saw those patients. He just sat in his office, did a lot of thinking, used a whiteboard, why he even might have had a cane on him, some might say. It's believed that he had the cane for a reason, but these reasons I have yet to know. And two words are what defined him, as many other things were just him going on and on anyways. He was a doctor, and he was good at what he did. Folks, I want you to remember these two words, because they might help you one day. Maybe they won't. But there's definitely truth behind them. And in truth are lies, as you might know. And as a famous doctor once said, everybody lies. Write it down, memorize it, don't forget it. Two words: everybody lies. Think about it. And hey, you never know. You might just share this wisdom with somebody else. This is your host with the most, signing off.
Our American way of life. Isn't it grand? Peace, freedom, and bacon and eggs. Seems perfect. But what if it's not? Friends, your future may not be as secure as you think. Where will you be when the atomic bombs fall? You can secure your family's future by reserving a spot in a state-of-the-art underground vault from Vault-Tec. That's right, Bob. Act now, and your family can wait out the horrors of nuclear devastation. And Doris, the vault will have all the amenities of your modern-day home, and it's attractive. And Sally, in the vault, you might meet that special someone, just as you would on the surface. And in a few short years, you and your fellow vault dwellers will repopulate our great country. And Billy, you'll have lots of swell kids to play with. Reserve your family spot in a state-of-the-art underground vault today. Sign up now and prepare for the future.
Mistletoe.